Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Delta Flyers Journey Through the Wormhole with Quark, Dax, and their good friends, Hom and Harry. Join us as we make our way through episodes of Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Your hosts for today are my fellow Trek actors, Robert Duncan McNeil and Garrett Wong, and myself, Terry Farrell.
For the complete and exciting and amazing and stupendous version of this podcast, please check out patreon.com/the Delta Flyers and sign up to become a patron today. Hello.
Well, yeah. Hello. Hello, hello.
Hello.
I don't know if you noticed, what? I put on my background.
Yes, I'm curious.
Two places, because the Meridian is a different existence, right? So now yes. We've got it in my background.
Genius idea, Robbie.
You've done that to show Terry how, you know, the dimensions. But you also inadvertently made me smile because you have the colors of my college.
Yes. It's a little UCLA.
Yeah. Very much so.
I loved riding my bike through UCLA. That's a good workout on a Sunday morning.
There's so many hills there, but it's beautiful there too.
Yeah,
so.
Great beautiful. Campus. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When did you do that? When you lived in Brentwood?
Santa Monica.
You live in Santa Monica?
My Mar Vista life. Yeah.
Nice. That was my neck of the woods. I was Venice, Santa Monica, all around
there.
Oh,
isn't that great?
Yeah,
What year was that, though, Terry, when you were in Mar Vista?
When I moved back in 2017.
Oh.
With Max.
Okay.
Didn't he go to SAMO? Did he go to SAMO?
Yes, he did.
So did my son, my youngest.
Did you know that Armin went there, too?
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
Oh, my gosh. The Santa Monica High School is very famous around L.A. because it's a great high school.
It's like a little college, really. I mean, how many students? It's like over 3,000.
Yeah.
But no one refers to it as Santa Monica High School or SMHS, but they just say SANMO. SANMO has been the abbreviation, and it's very California to have an abbreviation.
Well, especially for a high school. And they've been doing renovations and
it's
upgrades.
Grown.
It's
yeah,
spectacular.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
beautiful school.
It is beautiful.
Yeah. I want to go to high school there.
I do too. Can we all go back?
Can we go back to high school?
I don't think they would let us. I think they'd be worried.
For the celebrity component of it, with the publicity they're going to get, they might.
Our age.
Yes.
It's our age. It might be kind of gross.
It's just a number.
They might say, how about Santa Monica Junior College? How about you try that? SMC. I went there for a minute.
I went there too.
Yeah. I was thinking, I got to figure out something else to do. You know, those little lulls in your career.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was there 6 weeks and that was it.
What'd you take? What class did you take?
Oh, I jumped in. I took anatomy and we had a cadaver. And I passed out twice. And I was like, you know what?
God.
I think I'd like to pretend to be a doctor. I don't think I really.
Wow.
Yeah. The cadaver was super upsetting for me. First of all, it was just too weird. I couldn't cut into a human being, even though it was dead. It was just, couldn't do it. On a happier note,
I could. Yes.
I'm on my third day of working out.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of myself.
I'm proud
really
of you
good
too.
Teachers. Thank you. Me too. Yeah. I mean, it's been way over a year, me doing consecutive classes. So I had to take an Epsom salt bath before our recording.
Oh no.
I did. I feel so much better. But my word.
That's hard when you're not in the routine of it all.
I'm in the same boat as you, Terry. It's been over a year. Yeah, it's been over a year since I've gone to yoga, done anything consecutive just because of life. So yeah, it's tough. So
let's
I commend
it. Let's start the Delta Flyers workout club.
Yay. Okay. I'll join.
Let's do it.
Yeah, because you've been doing your treadmill.
I have. I've been working out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, it's time for birthdays, and we have Jonathan Brooks on January 12th. Happy birthday, Jonathan.
Happy birthday, Jonathan.
Happy birthday, Jonathan.
It's been 1 year for these prophets being prophets, basically. So we just want to say thank you. All of us are in agreement here. We are so appreciative of your time, your support, all of the questions that you've given us.
Yeah, we couldn't do this without you guys.
Definitely. You're an integral part of this. So we want to thank you so much. We're going to run through all of your names that have been with us for 1 year as a prophet, and a big, 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 huge thank you to you all. All right, Robbie, take it away.
Okay, we start off with Stephanie Baker.
Jason Oaken.
Marie Burgoyne.
Chris Hansen.
Janet Harlow.
Rich Gross, the pilot.
Mike Goo.
Tara Paulin.
AJ in Toronto.
Nicholas Russell.
Lisa Robinson.
Alex Midness in Australia.
James Morrow.
Roxanne Ray.
Andrew Duncan in the UK.
Rosa Mehta.
Jonathan Brooks.
Matt Norris.
David Buck.
Izzy Jaffer.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, our prophets. We could not do this without you. You're awesome.
Congratulations. 1 year as a prophet. Robbie, let us hear your limerick.
Yes, sir. Here we go. My poetry synopsis for Meridian. A planet suddenly appears. Seems it comes around every few years. Dax has a love affair. Quark's holosuite is a nightmare. Dax must stay here. Her story ends with some tears.
I'm afraid mine's going to sound kind of mean.
Oh, I can't wait. Good.
Let's hear it, Terry.
Meridians aren't stable. Quick love is a fable. Dax's heart is broken. Fleeting love, a mere token.
I like that.
That didn't sound mean.
It didn't.
But it was a little jaded to love, a little bit.
Well, yeah, but
yeah,
it was a little puppy quick, love, wasn't it?
It's a little crushy.
It was a little crushy.
Yeah, very crushy. Yeah. Okay, here we go. This is my haiku for Meridian.
All righty.
Gamma quadrant bound. Planet appears from nothing. Jadzia's first love.
Oh.
Nice. Hey.
Very nice.
I love our creativity, like all of us. It's like very. Right.
Gosh.
Fun.
Yes, let's all pat ourselves on the back.
We did good. We did. Here, I'm patting you guys.
Pat each of you. Actually, I'm patting your faces now, the side of your face, like a grandma would do. Okay. This teleplay is by Mark Garrett O'Connell. And maybe I could change the spelling of my name to that. Garrett, G-E-H-R-E-D.
Yes.
Garrett, look at that. Mark Garrett O'Connell. Hillary J. Bader and Evan Carlos Summers. Story by those two. We have our director, Jonathan Frakes, first time directing a DS9 episode, evidently.
There
he is. Guest stars, Brett Cullen as Dural, or the boyfriend. He has had supporting roles in movies, including The Dark Knight Rises, Joker, National Security, The Replacement, Something to Talk About, Apollo 13, Leaving Normal, and Ghost Rider. So a lot of stuff.
We also did a show called The Grapevine. That was a TV series, a half-hour comedy TV series.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it was an hour. It was Brenda Strong, Brett Cullen. I don't remember who else, but she played my sister. He played her husband, and we had an affair.
No way.
Yeah.
So we had
a relationship. We knew each other before he came on the show. I had nothing to do with them hiring him. But
right.
Yeah.
How funny.
So it was fun to work
that?
With a friend again.
Yeah.
And I didn't mind kissing him either. That was fun.
Well, you kissed him in the other project too, correct?
Oh, yeah. He was very protective too, which was very sweet.
He's a nice man.
He's a very nice man.
He and I were in audition rooms a lot.
Oh, so you know the name. You know who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He was older. He was a bit older, but we would often go up for the same
role.
But
physicality-wise, you guys are very similar. You're about the same height.
Yeah, lighter color
your
hair.
Look.
Yeah.
Really nice guy. Who else we got?
We have Christine Healy as Selton Recall.
Uh-huh.
Also, Jeffrey Combs. Now, did he pronounce it? Was it pronounced as Tyrone? Is that how they said it?
Tyrone?
Tyrone. I think it was Tyron.
Someone said Tyrone in there too. I did not recognize him.
That I didn't makeup, at first.
I recognized him right away.
But the voice is what I heard. I mean,
yes.
You know what I'm saying? The minute he started.
I texted him yesterday. And I told him what an extraordinary job he did.
Yeah.
And he said, my very first episode of Star Trek, Frakes cast me. And right after, Renee suggested me for the new character, Brunt.
Yeah.
Wow. So he got the part because of Frakes. And then he did Brunt. Yeah. But he's such a talented man and a nice man, too.
So this is his very first Star Trek appearance.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And Frakes did cast him. And interesting enough, the other little bit of tidbit was Jeffrey Combs actually read for the part of Riker. He was in the competition against Jonathan Frakes for that role.
Wow. Right?
And that's so then, funny.
Look at how full circle. Totally so then different. He doesn't get the role. He doesn't get completely different. That would be a totally different Will Riker,
right?
Played by Jeffrey Combs.
Well, first of all, Frakes is so much taller than him. That's kind of hard to imagine.
That's number one. That's the difference between those two. Number one, height difference. But again, the way those two have clearly, we do know how Jonathan Frakes portrayed Riker. We all know that character. But a Jeffrey Combs Riker would have been far different, I think, in terms of the
really
tone. The pacing of that character. But it's so cool that he didn't win out that job, but years later, the actor that did win the job cast him in Star Trek for the first time, which is now the beginning of the journey of the wonderful characters that Jeffrey Combs has had a chance to play.
Yeah.
He also starred in something about Edgar Allan Poe. He plays Edgar Allan Poe. He's phenomenal.
He did that on the
stage.
He did it on stage too. Yes, he did.
He did
but
it
they
on stage.
Also did a movie.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
I didn't know that. I knew about the stage.
Well, Robbie, he performed that on stage at the cruise. He had the
Did he really?
Stage. Yeah, he did.
Wow. I would love to have seen that.
Yeah. Did you direct him on Enterprise, Robbie, when he played Shren, the Andorian character? Did you
know
the Andorian episodes?
No, I never did. I went to the theater with Jeffrey in London. We were at a convention one time in Milton Keynes, actually, which is not London. It's like an hour or two away. And we had a night off, like a Saturday night. And he had heard that I was going to go into London and see a play or something. And he's like, hey, can I come with you? And we didn't really know each other at all. We took the train. It was like an hour or two train ride. And we had dinner and we saw a little kind of fringy play at a theater above a pub. It was really fun.
You had a very
like the perfect bromance.
Yeah, I was going to say that was a perfect date. You had a date with Jeffrey Combs. I love that.
Or he had one with you.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Let's jump into this episode.
We start off in the Replimat.
Yes.
We start off with Kira sipping her hot drink. Her
extremely hot coffee.
Extremely hot. they talk about coffee. He's like, well, why don't you just get a cooler instead of so hot? And she's like, well, I want to savor it. I want to enjoy the experience.
I agree with her.
Yeah, I do too. I like the way that coffee sort of cools and it's a different experience as you drink through the cup. It's great. It's a great little detail. Odo reveals he had food once, which was very funny. His description of how that went. It's a little too much information for Kira. And then Jeffrey Combs appears. There he is. Tyron?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Tyron.
Yeah.
Let's go with Tyron.
How about Tire Iron? We could use
tire
that
iron?
As well.
Oh my!
I don't know that's gonna be hard for me.
No.
I'm gonna stick with Tyrone. Tyrone is my
Tyrone.
Way to say it. Yes.
You just want to be confusing.
I want to be confusing. Okay.
Well, Tyrone creeps over. He's very creepy. This character that Jeffrey came up with. It's just so.
He's makeup, the hair. Just looks
all of it. All of it.
Westmore once again does an amazing job.
Yes. That poof.
Was it not like Gary Oldman's Dracula?
Yes.
Right?
Because it poofs out and it's separate.
Like an old lady. It's like this whole, from the 70s.
Well, he creeps over to talk to Kira because they met the night before. I guess he was talking a lot and she snuck out. You know, it's like you disappeared. And Kira suddenly covers with, well, I'm here with my lover. She calls Odo her lover.
His whole body gets rigid when
Well, she touches his hand,
his hand.
And he immediately looks down at it, and you can tell he's vibrating inside.
It's like too much.
Too much for him. He can't take it.
Guy. And she has no clue.
Very funny.
No.
I did love it when she said that.
So funny, these two. But he plays along. I like when Tyron assumes that Odo makes a ton of money if he's the head of security.
Right.
That was a funny joke to me.
But I just love how, again, Terry mentioned she's completely, Kira is completely oblivious to this. And as she leaves, now the only person left in frame is Odo, and he just looks down at his hand that was touched by her earlier. It's like, thank you, Renee. Yes.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Yes. Also, like,
later, sweetheart. Yeah. She's enjoying playing this.
Oh God, it's hilarious.
She's really enjoying it.
So good.
Well, and they're buddies, so she's not thinking about.
No, she's not.
That it's. Mm-mm.
It's all Odo's subtext.
Yeah,
right,
it's completely
right now.
Innocent on her end.
Yeah,
it is.
We go out to space. We see the Defiant in space. We have a commander's log, stardate 48423.2. Despite the continuing threat posed by the Dominion, I've convinced Starfleet that we must continue our exploration of the Gamma Quadrant.
Didn't everyone think, why are you doing this? The Dominion said, don't come to our side. And Sisko's like, let's keep exploring. I just felt like, why are you doing this?
How do we go from Danger Will Robinson to let's go?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that Dax can meet the love of her life.
Yeah, that's why. That's the whole reason.
My word.
We cut inside the bridge. They're exploring. They mention there's no Dominion activity. They pick up a gravimetric distortion, decide to go investigate. It's only a star, though. They get there. Strange. And then there's a bump on the ship. They all kind of bump, shudder. And a planet kind of appears. It almost looks like an eclipse.
It was cool. I liked what they did.
Yeah.
The effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. An entire planet just suddenly gets beamed in or something, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very cool.
It just appears. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, beamed in is good. Yeah.
The planet beamed in. I like
that.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, well, they scan. They're like, nothing here but the star. And then the planet appears. So it just doesn't make any sense.
No. Not at all.
Dax gets the last line of the teaser, which I liked. Where could this be coming from? There aren't any planets in the system, says Miles. And then planet appears. There are now. Nice little button to the scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after the opening title sequence, we come back to the Defiant. Everybody's confused. They wonder maybe this planet was cloaked. They scan the planet. They see a settlement, 30 inhabitants. They get a call from the planet. The 30 people that live there, they get a hail. So they pick up the phone, and it's a woman. It's a woman, Selton Recall. She says she is from Meridian. And she says they're from a dimension, another dimension that interacts with this one. And she invites them to dinner. And Sisko just confirms. I like his line.
He's like,
as long as your planet's not going to disappear in the middle of dessert.
And to be specific, it's not dinner. She invites them to first meal. So it's more like breakfast, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
So, oh, maybe it's breakfast. Yeah.
Well, if they just appeared, I guess everything would be breakfast.
Exactly.
The first meal in 60 years.
Yeah.
60 years. Oh, my God.
From another dimension, though. That kind of blew my mind. It's like, we're going into that kind of sci-fi. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just quick little fact. Meridian, this episode, is based on Brigadoon, the musical.
Oh, I love Brigadoon. I totally get that.
Okay. That's
it's
cool.
A musical about a magical Scottish village that appears only once every 100 years. And it was Ira Stephen Bear, who is a fan of Brigadoon. He's the one who confessed to originating the idea about making this episode based on the musical. And of his idea to do a Star Trek show based on Brigadoon, Bear says, in quote, "I am a moron." That's what he said. So it's like, what? So he, you know, he's excited about it, whatever. But Mark Garrett O'Connell commented, "Meridian is an outer space version of Brigadoon with Dax as Gene Kelly. It's really a fun story.
Oh, I wish I would have known that. I would have danced a little.
Yeah, you could have moved. Made some moves.
You could have danced in the tree.
Love Gene Kelly.
We know that Dax has had many romantic entanglements over the course of 300 years, but this is the first time that Jadzia Dax has fallen in love. That's the angle in which I'm building this script. There isn't a whole lot of jeopardy or danger, and there are no bad guys. In that sense, it's a lot like Second Sight. It's a light story in many ways, but it has emotional weight for Dax, and it's very appealing. All of her friends have to realize that this is her first romance. Sisko is used to thinking of Dax as old Curzon, and it comes as a shock to him. When I first watched this, I didn't read any of these side notes that I'm reading you guys now, and I kept thinking, this has got to be the first time she's ever fallen in love, you know? Because even though we know her as an old soul, but as Jadzia, she's still young,
yeah,
right?
This is the first time for Jadzia's version. Yeah.
But it's hard to think outside that box. Because if you're thinking, oh, she's been here for 9 lifetimes, she's definitely had a relationship. But no, not Jadzia. So,
Yeah,
because her whole life was studying to become joined.
Yeah.
And she became joined at 28. So now we're in season 3, episode 8. So she's, got to be 30, 31.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You like the Brigadoon aspect of it, though, Robbie? You feel like...
Oh, I totally do. I wish there was a musical number.
Yeah, that would have been good.
As long as I wasn't singing, I'll dance.
You'll dance. You'll do the Gene Kelly moves.
Exactly.
Yeah. It seems like the other writers were excited about this, but it seems like Ira felt, like he was the most excited, but then at the end of it, he wasn't as excited or something, maybe by that comment, or maybe, but I can't get context from just a quote. I don't know how he said it. Might have joked about that,
It could have been a one-liner.
Yeah. But regardless, he loves Brigadoon, and that's why this whole episode happened.
That's so funny. Well, we go down to Brigadoon, also known as the village square on the planet. And we see this small settlement down in this beautiful forest. Everybody's sitting around in kind of a horseshoe shape or a circle for dinner. They're all having dinner. This is where Dural begins to flirt very heavily with Dax right out of the gate. He wants to know where her spots go. Do they go all the way down? Very flirty, very intimate for just coming out of another dimension.
Yes, but it's been 60 years. So he's been waiting 60 years to flirt and bam, he's going to jump right into it. Yeah. So that's how I justified it.
Love at first
sight. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a new woman.
Yeah. He's known the other people, his people, for hundreds of years, basically. The same 30 people. So you're the new candy.
I'm fresh.
You're brand spanking. Oh, yeah.
I'm the new candy.
You're the new candy.
I'm the girl.
In the candy shop, yes.
Well, flirting's going on. We cut over to Selton, and Selton tells Sisko that they have this dual existence, that in another dimension, they're pure consciousness. They don't know why this happens, but they return here. Every time they return here, it's as if no time has passed. It's as if they just pick up. So they don't really have a memory of what happens in the other dimension. But here, it just picks right up where they left off.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about how they enjoy the pleasures of life when they're here. So it's a bit of a pleasure planet.
But not quite like Ryza.
We do end the scene with Dural feeding Dax some fruit, the pulp. He's kind of digging out the pulp.
That was very, not aggressive, but very forward.
Very forward, yes.
I kind of wanted to take the spoon. Like, oh, no. I don't even know you.
I can feed myself. Yes.
Yeah.
My word.
Totally.
Too intimate.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we cut over to Quark's next. Tyrone's coming down from the Hollow Suite. He's very disappointed in Quark's Hollow Suite. Quark offers him another program free of charge, which is very generous for Quark, by the way. I've never seen Quark do this.
Well, Tyrone is someone with very deep pockets, so he's willing to spend a little to get
more. He's a good customer.
Yeah.
We offers him a free program, but Tyrone's not really interested. He wants something very specific. He reveals it's Kira. He offers a very big payment. Do you remember when he pulls the latinum out of his sleeve?
Yes.
Like a magician?
Yes.
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 Oh, I like that carrot.
Teases him with the latinum. Quark says this is not going to be easy, though, to to, you know, get a Kira program because he's going to have to get her inside a holosuite to record her image. And Tyron says, well, payment on delivery.
Yeah.
And I love Quark's last line, the things I do for money. Very funny.
Oh, my word. And she doesn't even like the holosuites.
Oh, no, she does not like the holosuites. I like this whole story, by the way.
The B storyline?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeff's performance, Armin's performance. I thought the fun stuff with Odo and Kira. I just like this whole story. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a good sort of echo. I love when the writers put in these themes in multiple stories that sort of connect. It's about Tyron's crush on Kira. It's a bit about a crush or love or lust or whatever. But that's also happening in your story. So I love how they sort of echo each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. We go back to the village square. Did you guys notice, Terry, you didn't do the last episode with us, but in the last episode, they're in the mining. They're in civil defense. They're in the mining. I think they redressed that set for the village square. It looks exactly like the same structures
probably
as the previous episode.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Especially how fast you're filming. You know, you're filming so fast. Anytime they can make it easier on a department. Well, actually, they don't make it easier. It's whenever they can save money and just repurpose quickly.
Repurpose very. Yeah, but it was funny to me, like back-to-back episodes, those structures were on major sets. And they were, you know, it was dark.
Entirely different.
Yeah, entirely different. Yeah.
So that's kind of too bad if it mirrors it too close that you notice that, right? You shouldn't notice that.
Yeah. Okay. It seemed like it to me.
The garden set of Meridian, where Jadzia and Dural engage in a relationship, was filmed at Huntington Gardens.
Yeah, we went
there
a lot.
The village commons on Meridian was a reuse of the set used for the Temple of Masaka in TNG Masks. And also the modified set can also be seen as the Klingon Great Hall in the House of Quark.
Oh,
used there. And also the Albino's Lair in Blood Oath.
Oh, yeah.
That's the same, his.
I loved Blood Oath.
Mansion or whatever.
Whatever that structure is, they've used it a few times.
Right.
For sure. I just noticed that in this next scene when they're in the square.
That establishing shot that shows the actual settlement in the
forest.
Another Dan Curry Thai jungle shot, right?
Oh, really?
Thailand. So, and then he then composited in that other little.
That's cool.
You know, center structures or whatever.
So Dan was so good at that.
Yeah,
stuff.
He did that for.
Oh yeah.
I think every show. Pretty
sweet
much, so.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they're walking. Dax and Dural are walking through the village, and he explains their time. And their population are both shrinking, that, you know, they're getting less time in this physical state, and that people are, I guess, dying or disappearing or just not coming back.
They're not reproducing.
They're not reproducing.
There's not enough time to reproduce.
No,
anymore.
You can't. How would that work anyway? If I got pregnant and then you go to a non-corporeal state.
Yeah.
How could the fetus grow?
Well, they say when they come back, it's exactly the same as when they left it. So if you're pregnant when you leave, you should be pregnant.
But it might take you like 300 years to
gestate a baby.
Yes.
Yeah, because you're only having 12 days only at a time. Oh, my word.
That's why there's only 30 people left. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, here's Michelle. She's been pregnant for the last 800 years, basically.
Exactly.
We're only back here for 12 days. So, yeah. Not good.
Yeah, he does say in this that they're going back in 12 days. They're only here for 12 days, and then they go back to the other dimension, and eventually they're going to cease to exist.
He said they only age when they're in corporeal state. I thought I would have really loved to hear how many years old are you then? Because if you've been doing this for your whole lifetime,
thousands of years old.
But see,
right?
But that's so weird. They age when they're in pure energy state, right? And they're like, how do you?
They don't age in pure energy. Sorry, they only age when they're in physical form.
Yeah.
Non-corporeal is without a body.
Corporeal is
with a body.
I get that. But I thought they said we only age in the non-corporeal state. No?
No, then they'd be really old, 'cause 60 years at a time.
He says there were many of us back then, descendants of an expedition that was stranded here millennia ago. So millennia, literally.
So thousands.
Wait, how long? How long's a millennia?
No.
It's thousands.
Yeah, well, isn't a millennia
a thousand years?
I thought it was 1,000 years. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
I think it is 1,000 years. Okay. It is.
They're in the square. And Cisco is like, I can help out if I can. And there's these boys playing around. He grabs some random. It's kind of cute, but kind of like, wait a minute. Do you have permission to do? He grabs some strange alien boy and embraces him in a very awkward way. It just looked awkward all around.
Catching the ball and all of that was cute. But I understand when he grabbed the boy and kind of hugged him.
Sorry, yeah. You can't do that in this
like
day
you don't
age.
Know
no.
you don't them know. Well enough.
No.
So in this scene, an important thing to say is Cisco is offering help to these people.
Yes.
And he says, we're going to go back. Dax and Durrell join them. And they say, you know what? We're going to go back to the Defiant, run some seismic scans, try to figure out what's going on. So,
well, they're trying to help them to stabilize the shifts.
Exactly.
There's something crazy. It's getting worse and worse, basically.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially with their son.
Yes.
Their son is out of balance.
I was like,
not S-O-N, S-U-N.
What about their daughter?
They don't care about
Terry,
her.
How's your son doing? Is he okay? What's happening? I was literally like, what? Yeah, the son. S-U-N. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. We go to Quark's next. Kira arrives into Quark's. Quark informs her that she is the 1,000,000th customer. Tells everybody in the bar, they all applaud. Kira's a little embarrassed. It's kind of surprising that he's...
But he did it really well, didn't he?
He did. It was seamless.
He really did.
Yeah. Her prizes include champagne, 5 free spins at the Dabo table. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the pièce de résistance is time in the Hollow Suite. And this is his little ruse to try to get her in there to scan her so that he can... give this gift to Jeffrey Combs' creepy character. But she has no time, and she doesn't like holosuites either. So she's like, thanks for the champagne.
There's a moment when he says, and 1 free hour in the holosuite. And she seems excited. She's like, the holosuite, really?
Yeah.
And then he goes, yes. And they start walking. She goes, because Ensign Quintana's birthday is today. And she turns around.
I'm going to give it to him.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He'd love a free trip. Yeah.
Yeah. That was funny.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, Nanette was very funny in this. Her sort of her energy and the comedy side of things.
I hope she had fun doing it because she sure looked like she did.
Seemed like she did, didn't
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She heads to the Dabo wheel.
Yeah, she has the 5 free spins. So that's,
five free spins. Mm. Yeah.
Or Quark.
We go to the bridge of the Defiant next. Dax is showing records of their sun that it's giving off some kind of modulated gamma bursts when the planet appeared. Mm. Dax sciences that out, that there's some modulated gamma bursts, of course, duh. Cisco asked.
Of course, duh.
Duh. Cisco asked Miles to send a probe into the sun. And Durrell is there. He's kind of creepily staring at Dax this whole time.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Comments on biting her lip. Part of it is the way it's shot too, because you're focused forward on your work. And he's just focused, staring at you and talking about you biting your lips, how cute that is. And it was a little creepy.
Yeah. Creepy. I think, it'd be different. Well, this is what bothers me about this romance. There's nothing deep. There's no genuine connection where you see something revealed and you go, oh, now this is someone who understands me. Yes. It's very... Mm-hmm. Kind of light flirting, mm-hmm. nothing
lusting, and
it's not. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say this is love. It's definitely attraction, but not.
It's puppy
not love.
Love,
and I'm going to change my life for you. I'm not picking up on that.
Mm-mm. Yeah,
no, I don't get this from this episode, and I don't think it's. I think it's the writing. There are things we didn't get to take advantage of in this story, in the time of storytelling that could have made it more believable. And I know it's hard to do in an hour.
You're exactly right, Terry. There's 42 minutes in this episode, right? In all these Trek episodes of that golden era of Trek, your show, Voyager. 42 minutes is not enough time. I'm sorry. There's always going to be a missing scene.
It's definitely not enough time if you're spending the time flirting about biting my lip instead of mentally really connecting.
Give us something deep to make us believe that he connected with her on a soul level where she's like, holy moly,
and
this is the one. I'm done with Starfleet, you know? We don't believe that.
Because this kind of reminds me, what episode was it where in the original series where Spock and Oh, that beautiful actress. I can't think of her name right now, but she blows like kind of like a dandelion into his face, and then suddenly he's in
Oh,
love.
yeah. I can't remember the name of it, but yeah.
Yeah, and she was married to Charles Bronson. Anyway, if I were under a spell, then this kind of
Not.
flirty, light, silly stuff would make sense, but
Yeah.
I'm not, and I'm
Yeah.
the science officer. And I also would like to understand, how is he continuing his education, Dural?
When he's in
Right? When he's a
a
non-corporeal
energy
state?
form, yes.
You know, if you're a science person, you have to keep up with your education and the
Like new
latest information.
discoveries, exactly.
Exactly.
I'm sure he has a non-corporeal office cloud that he can sort of hover in. His energy can be in that little
Thank
office
you. I feel
area.
so much better
Okay,
now.
good.
Well, now we're in the garden, the Huntington Gardens.
Gardens. Yes.
Yes. Beautiful walk and talk through the gardens. Dural tells Dax that Setlin would prefer it if he were with Kashara or Renar, or some of the other ladies that she approves of.
But he doesn't like their names. They're
No,
not
Dax is
pretty.
much better.
Jadzia.
Jadzia is much better.
Yeah. But we do learn a little of information. He actually was married. He had a wife. She passed away, right? So that's what we learn from this scene.
And he says he's been waiting for the right woman.
Yeah.
Basically, it's just a stroll through the Garden of Eden, this scene.
And so, honest to Pete, could not this amount of time that we've
Oh, yeah.
spent with this light, fluffy conversation, really small talk, be an opportunity for us to have a scene where something happens and we connect?
It was a bit slow, this scene, like all the time it took to walk.
Boring. I'm sorry, it's boring. It was boring, the scene.
Well, we also learn a little bit more about Dax. Dax is afraid of heights. I guess that's one
Yeah, and
thing.
then you still encourage me to go up.
He
No. No, you just met me. Isn't that kind of pushing too hard? I don't
Well, you
know.
basically have this scene in the Garden of Eden. You end up by the pond. He feeds you some grapes, and then Dax says, "What comes next?" And they have a kiss. Yes, a big kiss.
A kiss that was very familiar since you had already worked with this gentleman.
Oh
Kissed
yeah.
him in a prior project. So
Yeah, we
there
didn't have
you
to work on the kiss. We needed to work on the
On the
relationship.
dialogue, exactly.
Yeah, I had no problem kissing him.
Well, you have a kiss. We go back to the village square. They can't find any data to explain these dimensional shifts. And Sisko calls, Dural is kissing your neck while you're talking to the commander. A lot of, yeah, yes, Terry,
What
that
is, are we
happened.
48 hours in?
Maybe at most.
See,
It is the stroll through the garden when the background music was way loud. Was that there's some point in here there.
Maybe.
It's so crescendo. It's like I could barely hear the dialogue. I'm like, what
Yeah, there
happened there?
was.
Do you notice
Yeah.
that as well? Yeah, I
Yeah,
was.
I know what you're talking about.
The
It like
levels
went
weren't.
down really low
Yeah,
and
it
then it
was
came
like.
back up again. There's a couple of pops that stood out to me too that I know they had to be ADR
Yeah,
moments. Like the
but.
voice suddenly was really, my voice was really loud and super clear. And you're like, not enough background ambiance layered on top of it. So it just felt like it
Yeah.
was recorded.
Well, again, with when the audio changes like that, I'm used to seeing that at a university film festival, like for student filmmakers, but not for an actual Hollywood professional television show.
$1 million episode.
Hello. Get
Yeah.
the sound right, get the audio right. It just annoyed me a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, it was hard to hear much of anything with him kissing your neck so loudly.
Yeah.
But he kissed your neck. You talked to Sisko. Sisko's going to send down some telemetry so you guys can get to work, which is what you're supposed to be doing.
I don't think he wants to work. I only think he wants to kiss. That's
He
about
only
it.
wants to kiss your neck. Dax says, how about this? We work for a few hours more, and then we go back to your room and count each other's spots. And then he
Yeah.
says, can I go first? We'll see. Whoa.
We'll see.
We'll see.
You better behave.
I've never played that game, Terry, Counting Spots. Is that a fun game?
Oh my goodness.
Boring is what she's going to say. Every time I see the sun, S-U-N, not S-O-N, I keep hearing, might as well be walking. What's that? Who sings that song?
Oh, I love that song.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. It
was he
a
wearing
one
a bumblebee
wonder.
Outfit on the cover of the album?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I think
the lyric, might as well be walking on the surface of the
yeah.
sun? Isn't that the
I don't
lyric?
Think there's surface.
Okay.
Might as well be walking on the sun.
Okay, on the sun. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
go
it.
Terry, go Terry. Okay. All right, we go back to the promenade upper level. Kira and Odo are being filmed by Quark.
Oh, this Quark's was
trying
hilarious.
To hide. It's so funny.
He's getting so mad at Odo, right?
Yeah, Quark's like, get out of the way, Odo. He's saying to himself, you're ruining my shot. And Kira notices. I love the camera work too, like the kind of shot of what he's trying to film, and they're staring right at him. They keep looking around. It's very funny. Yeah, he's trying to take a holo scan of her. Odo keeps getting in the way. They decide they march over to Quark. At first, he says he was taking pictures of the promenade, and then he admits.
Oh, my word.
He says, okay, I was trying to scan Kira for an op simulation, he says. Everybody's been wanting this op simulation so they can see what Kira does in ops. Not very convincing lie, but Odo and Kira think it's for whatever it's for. They won't have clothes, basically.
Well, he admits to it. It's for the holo. Didn't he say it's for the holo suite?
Yeah, he says it's for the holo suite. It's for a program for ops.
Right.
All about work.
Okay.
People
right.
just want to know how they right. do work. And they're like, we don't buy that. You're without clothes.
Naked, I assume.
I like how she threatens him.
Yes, she does.
Let me put it another way. If I ever catch you pointing that holo imager at me again, you'll end up eating it.
Yeah. And then she tossed it over the railing. Like she tossed his
yes.
camera.
He's so upset.
That's funny. Yeah, fun scene. We go back to the garden. Dural's by the pond. This is this reflection moment when Dax arrives. Very nice reflection in the water. Dax does reveal to Dural that they have a way to stabilize the sun. Dural tells her he wants to build them a house right here, right by the pond.
Way too much. Why aren't we having a better conversation?
Yeah, no. He's jumped
he's
to the
love
house.
Bombing me. He
he's
is
already
love bombing me.
Yes, he
he's
is.
Already to the house now. It's great.
Dax tries to calm him down. She's like, look, slow down, big fella. Pump the brakes. This is going to take some time. We can't do this in 12 days or whatever's left.
Doesn't he say that he's going to build this house for them to meet at, like every time he comes back, which is every 60 years?
Doesn't
yeah,
he get that specific?
I
think
he
does.
Did.
He brings
oh,
some,
yes,
like
he
he's going to go away,
I realize.
Build the house. Yeah.
Yeah.
I realize you have a life on Deep Space Nine, but now you'll have a place here as well for when you visit.
Yeah.
60 years? Holy cow. I'll be 80 the next time I see him.
You're like, hey, young
fuck
whippersnapper.
Shit.
Yeah.
What a waste of time. No, 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 no.
Well,
no.
He says this and Dax gets a little sad. And then he decides to offer that he can go live on the station if she agrees. He basically kind of invites himself to move
yeah,
in with
yeah.
her.
To leave Meridian.
And suddenly I'm 16 yeah. again. Yes.
Yes.
That's puppy love for you.
Exactly. Dural is moving in with Dax on the station. Love all around. We've got Tyron or whatever's Tyrone. He's in love with Kira. There's just love. Everybody's in love.
I think there's a lot of lust going
there's
on.
A lot of lust, exactly. Well, everybody's in lust, and we go back to the village square. Selten is very happy. She's grateful for all the help that she feels like this is going to give him a future.
Yeah.
She says she's called a meeting, and Dural's like, well, I want to speak to you. He's trying to tell Selten, you know, I'm moving in with Dax, but she says, you know what? You need to talk to Kashara first.
Yeah.
She's not going to wait forever. Dax overhears some of this too.
I overhear the whole thing.
The whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And then Selton's like, I can't keep everybody waiting. Let's go inside. And so Dural says, well, Dax, you go back to the ship. I'll meet you on the ship.
Good idea.
Dax is like, I'm out. I don't want a part of these conversations.
Whoa. No thanks.
Yeah. They head in for their meeting. And we go inside Dax's cabin on the Defiant. Dax and Bashir are talking. Bashir says Quark is going to be heartbroken and he's going to stop letting you win at Tongo. Dax is pissed off about
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I love this scene, actually.
Yeah, I did too. I did too.
Yeah, it's cute.
You played this perfectly, Terry. Your insult. Because it was shock and insult at the same time. You're like, what?
How dare you win?
How dare you? I am a Tongo master. Excuse you. Yeah. Thank you very much. Oh my God.
Well, Dural shows up to stop her from being angry about being the insult of Tongo.
I like how Mike come in is still angry though.
Yeah.
Like I'm still kind of, come in. Like, oh, what now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he shows up, says he told everyone. They weren't really happy, but he said, I told them I made up my mind. Tongo comes back up again. They mentioned Tongo in an upcoming game on Tuesday. And then Dural does say, you know, he came to let her know what's up, but he's got to go back and say goodbye to some people.
He has things to take care of, is what he says. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And off he goes. So it looks like this is happening at this point.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that, Terry?
I want to have a talk with Dax.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm older than she was then.
Exactly. Slow down, Missy.
Now that I'm thinking about it, why does he have to go back? To be honest, did he broker something where he said, okay, fine, I'll come back, I'll make sure I'll impregnate one of these ladies, and then
who knows?
You know what I'm saying?
A little humana.
Well, there's a lot of lust in the air, maybe.
There is.
We're back in Quark's bar. Really nice one-er in this. Shout out to Frakes here, because Quark's talking to Tyron. They're by the, I think, the circular stairs or whatever, and they're kind of having this clandestine conversation, but it's all a one-er. Tyron waits for Quark. They have this secret conversation. He's desperate. He needs this in 2 days. I guess he's leaving, so he wants, that's why he wants it in 2 days. I don't know. Seems desperate. Seems like there's a timeline.
I think it's because he has some ego issues. It's such a big ego, and he's powerful, and he has money, and he can't understand why he can't get what he wants when he wants it. He wants it yesterday.
Yes, I want it now.
Yeah, and I think Jeffrey plays this. He's just so wonderful in this.
So good. So good. Well, in Quark's, in this nice one-er that Frakes did, Quark says, I'm going to get you what you need. It's a high-level encryption program. Get me what I need, and I'll have this for you. Tyron says, better hurry up. And Quark goes back behind the bar, inserts his little tube into the computer panel, and he's going to work. Inside security, Odo tells Kira that he's discovered Quark is illegally accessing her personnel file. Everything about her, her voice, her
of image, course
her,
he is.
Her retinal scan, everything.
And it's really her fault, because she should have just gone in the holo suite, made it all easier.
So much easier. But she has an idea here. She's like, hey, can you help me for a couple of hours? So she's got a surprise. Clearly, she's going to get back at Quark. Yeah, nice chemistry with those two.
You know what Quark should have did? Quark should have set up holo emitters inside of Quark's so that you didn't have to go into the holo suite to get the scan. Yeah. Duh.
He needed you.
Yeah, I could have helped him.
Where were you, Harry Kim?
I was on Voyager, trapped in the Delta Quadrant. That's where I was at this point. Couldn't help. We'd already left, right, Robbie? We're done.
We're out of here. I think we left.
We already left the prior episode.
Just one or two episodes, or between the last two episodes. Yeah.
Yeah. We're gone. We're in the Delta Quadrant.
Sorry, Dax.
Aww. Sorry, you guys.
Yeah, sorry, us too.
No.
Back in the village square, it's nighttime here. Dural is getting a shoulder massage.
I thought the scene was shot beautifully.
It was pretty.
It was so pretty. Mm. Yeah.
Very pretty. Kind of lying down on the ground under the stars. It's massage time. Dax is explaining the game of Tongo, but then he sits up. She says he's a little distracted. He explains that they need him. His people need him if Meridian is to have any kind of future. And this is when Dax offers to move in with him into this other dimension. And she reveals she's already discussed using the transporter buffers to adapt her molecular matrix to match his. It's the only way that they can be together.
It's an impulsive move.
Huge. You're agreeing to be non-corporeal for 60 years. Why?
I know. Because here's the only thing that I could kind of rationalize this. She's an adventurer. by Hurt.
Fine.
And we see this about
Fine.
Judzia yeah. Dax, period. She's yeah. a very adventurous person.
Yep.
So she's always going for experiences she's never had before.
Dax is Dora the Explorer, is yes. what it is.
Si.
Yes, yes.
Si, si, senor.
Si, si, senor.
Yeah. Well, she's Dora the Explorer. We go into her cabin on the Defiant, and it's a goodbye scene. And I got to say, Terry, so good, this scene. You and
thank you.
Avery.
Oh, my God.
I got Terry watching it back.
Yeah.
I love Avery so much. He was always so generous. What a generous actor he is.
You can see the chemistry between the two of you, and it felt really, even though I know you're not going to say goodbye because you're not leaving the show. As right. an audience, as a viewer, I knew that.
Right.
But I was still deeply moved. It felt, the chemistry felt real. Playing the circumstances felt super real. And it really moved me. So thanks.
Thank you.
But
oh,
also,
my goodness.
Kudos to Avery to show that vulnerability as well.
Well, knowing each other for two lifetimes, too, is mm-hmm. something that had to be definitely taken into account. Yeah. And how we react to each other
Definitely.
In all of our scenes. Mm-hmm. I think there's a deep, secure relationship there,
yeah.
which
yeah.
I am so grateful that we both
yeah.
as actors leaned into it.
Yeah, you did.
And yeah, and I trusted him, and I really believe he trusted me too. So, oh, what a great experience.
Great scene.
Him.
Dax says she's going to take a 60-year absence, leave of absence from Starfleet.
She's turning that in, isn't she? She's like, here's my request for Starfleet. I'll be back in 60 years. Like, she's actually, she's turning this.
Just stay,
is it a request?
Save
what is it?
My stuff in my quarters. That's all I ask.
Fine.
Put it in storage for me.
But they talk about their friendship. They talk about memories. It's very sweet.
I love that ending line. Sisko says, next time we see each other, I'll probably be a great grandfather. And Dax says, good, then I can call you old man. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, that was cute.
Cute.
Very sweet.
Yeah. Nice button on a very
emotional
deeply
scene.
Emotional scene. Yeah. yeah.
And well performed by both actors. So,
so good.
Good job.
Thank
so good.
You. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. yeah. We go to Quark's. We're outside a holosuite. Quark has finished the program. Mm. Tyrone says, I'll give you payment after I've sampled it, after I've tried this holosuite program. If it's good, he may even purchase it to use in his home holosuite. Quark is very impressed that he's got, oh, you got a home holosuite? It's good to have money. Tyrone goes inside the holosuite. There's like these sheer curtains he pulls
Love
back.
Love that.
Very sexy, and
yes,
he looks over. You see his point of view sprawled out on a bed, but you can't see the head, you can't see the face, but you see the body of this beautiful,
the beautiful legs.
Yeah, we assume
slowly
Kira
panning up the body,
and then the head pops up out of the pillows, hidden behind the pillows, and it's Quark. And
oh my God,
Quark says, "I've been waiting for you." But it's in Kira's voice, I think, isn't it?
Well,
no, I don't think so.
I thought it was Armin's voice.
I thought it was Armin.
Okay. Oh, maybe. So, guys, this is how it was supposed to be done. Production was supposed to have Nana there, dressed in everything, but she was supposed to wear a prosthetic Ferengi head. So when she turned in, it would be basically Nana visitor or Kira as a Ferengi. See what I'm saying?
That would have been awesome.
With her legs as a human, but the head as a Ferengi, but still it would be Nana speaking like, oh, I've been waiting for you. And then he freaks out and runs out of there. She's massively claustrophobic.
Yes,
so the claustrophobia that she was dealing with the Cardassian makeup was already oppressive. And the following episode, the you know, very soon after that episode, filming that one, she's got to film this.
Yeah, it'd only be 10 days.
Yeah. And she was like, nope, I can't deal with this. So production pivoted, and it was her stunt double, or whoever it was. That
the
was
body.
The person. Yes.
Well, I don't blame her.
I went back and looked at it a few times. The way they did this was old school. This was not a VisFX, I don't think.
Mm-mm.
They had the female double with her head behind a pillow, hidden behind a pillow. And then they must have cut a hole in the bed or something, because Armin popped his head up next to where, right next to where that double was. So it was very simple. You could see it was a little out of alignment, but it was
armored. Yeah. Like the spine or of the neck is not
aligned
correctly.
But that's kind of good because if they altered it, if Odo and Kira altered it,
it could be
that
off
makes
a little
sense
bit.
That it wouldn't look perfect.
Perfect, right. Exactly.
Which is even better, I think.
Yeah.
Very
a little
funny.
DIY project for Odo and Kira.
Yes, exactly.
DIY.
And this is why you hire professionals.
Exactly. Tyron is furious, cut back down to Quark's in the bar. He storms down the stairs. He threatens to get back at Quark at the end of this scene. And then Kira and Odo were standing off to the side. And they Kira asks, another satisfied customer, Quark? Very funny. Is that the end of that story? I just love that story. I thought it was a lot of fun.
I think it is.
I think it is too. Well, in the transporter room on the Defiant, Dax has finished her molecular adjustment. Some very sweet goodbyes.
Six hours.
By the way, this is the very first time that the transporter room on the Defiant is shown.
Oh, is it really?
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. A kind of compact version of a transporter room in there.
Yeah.
But she says her sweet goodbyes, takes off down in the village square. She arrives. Daryl's glad she didn't change her mind. And Selten is also glad. She's welcomed you into the fold. So she's happier there. And they all begin to gather.
Well, and we're looking forward to when we come back that possibly we'll be back for 30 years. So it'll be balanced, right? 30-30.
Yep.
And that's my doing. So she can't really hate me too much.
No, you've helped them out.
Yeah, you've helped.
Yep.
That we get into this sequence where it starts to shimmer away. We cut to the bridge. They're watching the planet as it starts to reverse when it appeared. You see the kind of
start heading to the other dimension.
Yeah, heading to the other dimension, back on the ground shaking. And the people are kind of turning bluish, like whatever ghosty color, kind of dimension they're going to. Yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of going black through. And white.
Yeah. But it seems to be getting stalled. Daryl says something's wrong.
And don't you know it's me right away?
Yeah, of
right
course.
Away, you know it's me.
What's
I'm the
different
anomaly.
Here?
Yeah.
Dax. Yeah. Yeah. Everything else is shaking and becoming this bluish energy, but Dax is not. She's still solid. And back on the bridge, they realize that Dax is the destabilizing part. There's shots of Dax gasping for breath. I'm sure you did this in front of a green screen, I would think.
Oh, I don't remember, but that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it was probably completely separate from all the other actors to keep you
or
solid.
They were offset and they just did me on set and then layered it. That might have been it too.
Yeah. There's shots of you gasping for breath. I love you, the physicality. You
I couldn't
there.
Breathe watching it.
Yeah.
Do you ever watch underwater stuff or play a game that has underwater, like Mario or
freaks
something? And I'm
freaks
like, I can't breathe. Yeah. And it makes me panic. Well, it's silly.
Every time there's a movie where the actors say, okay, it's flooded, but we have to dive through this little thing and get over here. I always hold my breath with them when they go under to see how long if I would survive
me
or not.
Too.
And I never do. I'm always out of air before they are. So
how about Tom Cruise? He did one where you were like, what?
Oh, yeah. Well, how long
but
are you there? 3 minutes?
For it.
I know.
Trained
I know.
For it. Oh,
there is
my
a way.
Word.
Yes. There is a way to train your breath that you can hold it for minutes. And I'm just thinking, my goodness.
Oh, ooh. How about claustrophobic? That would be.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Well, Dax is out of breath. Like she's underwater. She can't breathe. They decide to beam her out, emergency beam out. And once that happens, then Meridian is free to transform. And there's only space. We cut out to space. The planet's gone. Dax did not get to move into the house in the other dimension. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that, Dax.
It's all good.
So the planet is safe. They've gone back. Dax is back on the ship. We cut in her cabin. She's very sad. She says she just needs some time.
I like that he came to see me, though. It was very sweet. Yeah, and I slide down.
Yes, almost like going into fetal position in a way. You're very upset. Dax just says, there's nothing you can do. I just need more time. And Sisko takes off. And she says, just 60 years or so. And it's so sad because it's her love, her puppy love. And 60 years is the next time that she could see this person.
Oh, poor Dax.
Poor Dax.
Quark will make a holosuite for you, though. Don't worry.
Yes. And I'm confident she will recover and be fine the next episode.
Yes, I am too.
It'll be like it never happened.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I know.
All right. Well, we did it. We've recapped and discussed this episode.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
My first one is that love and or heartbreak aren't bound by time. Like when you love somebody, doesn't matter if, you know, there's time away from them, that love is still there, or heartbreak. You know, that's what I got from this dimension in the Dax storyline.
Okay. So that's the theme. All right.
That's the theme. Yeah.
Did you have a second?
My other theme from the Quark storyline is, trying to fulfill a fantasy can sometimes turn into a nightmare. Be careful trying to fulfill your fantasy.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
It could be another lesson.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with that one. That's mine. Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
He wanted it so bad just to have Kira. And in the end, he got her legs, but he got Quark's face.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think that for me, be wary if you're falling in love in a week.
Yeah.
That is attraction, right?
That's not
and
really
definitely
love.
Titillation, lust, but it is not being in love with somebody because you don't even know them.
No.
You've had no experiences with them. And so basically what you've got in your head is a fantasy of what that relationship's going to be, as does the other person about you. But so be cautious.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess my other lesson is move beyond the fantasy, live in the reality.
Yeah.
Which is get to know somebody. Get to know somebody on a deep level. Not this little foo-foo. Let's go climb a tree. Here, have a berry. This is a yummy berry. Look at this sunset. I love you. Yeah. Let's move in together. What?
What? Yeah. What are we 15?
Let me give you some fruit 15. From the pond.
Yeah, here's fruit from the pond. This is a water berry. Eat this. Let's move in together.
Yeah, and how about how he gives me that cluster when I come back? I save something for you. I don't want to marry you. You didn't even give me a plate of food. What the hell?
Give me a couple
you
grapes.
Give me a few berries. You're not a good husband.
Look at your. I love it. You're like, you just totally analyze what he did. You got a couple of berries for me. Clearly, if you didn't save me a meal, why would
those
I? Move
are crumbs. Those are crumbs. I don't want crumbs. No more crumbs in my life. I guess that's just where I'm at right now. Right.
Well, oh, Terry, what is the Patreon theme? What is their lesson and moral of this episode?
This was submitted by Alex Ray.
Yes.
And no matter how much you're willing to sacrifice for love, sometimes it can't work out. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
And maybe you just say goodbye. It was wonderful to meet you. And I'm sorry that this feeling of potential can't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. That would be more realistic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning into our recap discussion of Meridian. Please join us next time when we will be recapping and discussing the episode Defiant with Armin. And of course, we want to thank Terry again for being with us, co-hosting.
Thanks. Terry.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you. And thank you.
For all of our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material.